You're listening to the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast hosted by Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, and Brad Tarver. Well, it's another week, and it's not been a very big week in Apple news, but there's some cool stuff going on. Jim, you got your laptop, and you've had some issues with your MacBook Pro. What's going on there, man?
Well, I've had all kind of little issues. I guess the one big issue is that the U key on my keyboard Monday morning when I got into the office was stuck down and not registering being pressed. So I jiggled it a little bit like you do, and it finally kind of popped back up a little bit. But now it requires a very hard press to work. So just if you just say, hey, my U key doesn't work, and you just start hitting on it, it works fine. But if you're typing through the, you know, normal action of typing with the same level of key press on that key as other keys, it won't trigger. So I end up with a paragraph full of words without U's in them, which, you know, I mean, it's not the E key, but it's a brand new $3,000+ laptop with a key that doesn't work. So I scheduled an appointment with the Genius Bar and went on Friday, and just for those, that's 2 days ago, since you don't know when that was. So that was Friday, December 2nd, and they don't have key parts in yet at the Apple Store to fix it in the store. And they also told me that they couldn't even ship it out until the 5th for repair because they weren't prepared to repair any of these laptops yet, at least until shipping out on December 5th, which would be tomorrow.
So they've got brand new laptops on the market and they're not ready to fix them because they didn't expect them to be broken.
Exactly. It's the early adopter tax, is basically, I went from the dongle tax to the early adopter tax. And so then yesterday I encountered a new problem where I went to get onto my laptop and I'm getting the rainbow spinner above the time in my toolbar and the time locks up. So it was locked up to an hour or two earlier yesterday. And then just this morning when we came to record the podcast, the same thing, my time was locked up at like 6:30 p.m. yesterday. I guess the last time I'd used my laptop. So I don't know what's going on with that. I'm seriously considering just bringing the laptop back today and breaking out my 13-inch that I just turned into my Plex box. I didn't do any sort of reformat or anything on the 13-inch. I just told it to stop running a bunch of the normal stuff that I run at startup, and I installed Plex on it. And for my work stuff, I can simply copy the VM from the 15 back to the 13. And I've got the same Windows environment exactly that I need with all my files and everything already set up on it. So it wouldn't be that big a deal for me to switch back to the 13-inch. And I think I'm going to do that. And I actually, on Monday, when the whole key thing started, knew that all this might be an issue as far as getting it fixed and was pretty mad. So I reordered another MacBook Pro 15, knowing that it was going to take a month for it to come in. And so I'll just return this one and wait till the end of the month. That's when my ship date would be for the second one, and just go that route, because I'm just not comfortable paying this much for a brand new laptop and having this kind of stuff go wrong with it. So I'm just going to...
It seems they have had some production issues. I was noticing online, and we'll put a link in the show notes, that some users are experiencing really short battery life. I've seen that people have had their batteries last 2 to 3 hours before dying. There's been some reported issues about this. So it seems like this has not been a glitch-free experience for everybody. And typically when you're getting that beach ball, I mean, there's so many things that could be the culprit on that. You could have a bad logic board. You could have bad memory. I'm assuming that you're going and doing things like resetting the PRAM and all the normal standard troubleshooting stuff before you take it in. But I mean, not that it matters. You're going to replace it anyway. But just to get you over the hump, doing some of those diagnostic tricks may at least temporarily alleviate the problem.
I haven't done any of that in this case because I just saw that beach balling thing, you know, yesterday afternoon, and then I was busy, you know, doing stuff on the weekend, and I thought it was a one-time thing yesterday, and then just sitting down right before we started this morning with the same thing, just kind of, you know, I don't want to troubleshoot my brand new laptop. I just think that's probably the best route for me right now is just to bring it back. My battery life has not been great either, but I've kind of chalked that up to I'm running a VM, and that VM is just, you know, it's going to tax the battery pretty hard. I know I couldn't work a full day right now on this laptop with it on battery. I could probably hit 4, maybe 6 hours, but I definitely know I couldn't hit 8 or 9 hours working without the power.
So, Brad, you've got yours in, but you've had better experience with yours so far?
Yeah, I haven't had any trouble with it yet. I've experienced 8 to 9 hour battery times. I've let it discharge probably 3 times now since I got it on Thursday, and I've been able to... I haven't done full 8 hour stints on it, but I've definitely left it open to just run and just see what it's going to be like. I've done some basic stuff. I just got, you know, Dropbox, 1Password, my SSH keys and stuff copied over for doing all of the terminal work that I do. I was really surprised when the FedEx guy, I was actually here when the FedEx guy arrived with it, and I was actually surprised to see how small the box was when he got out, because I never really looked at whenever they released the tech specs for the new MacBook, and I saw I didn't really pay attention to the dimensions. I just said, I'm just getting the 13 inch, and I pulled it out and compared it to my other 13 inch, which is the mid or late 2012 non-Retina version. It's tiny compared to it. I mean, I remember pulling it out, and it feels like it's the size of an iPad Pro. It's just really tiny and really light. I've been really impressed with it so far. One person that I work with took immediate notice of it as soon as I pulled it out of my backpack on Friday morning, and then my son.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
And then my son noticed it yesterday. He was like, "Oh, is that your new MacBook?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Let me see the touch bar." And my wife seemed impressed with just the sheer size of it. But she
taken out of context. There's so much raw audio for me to play with when we're doing editing. But anyway, sorry, that may be the show title. But anyway, go ahead.
But she didn't notice.
Yeah, this whole spiel is like you could be talking about something totally different. But we all know it's just a 13-inch MacBook Pro.
I didn't. It was late at night, and I was trying to finish up a task before I went to sleep, so I didn't think to show her the touch bar, but I'm sure she would be impressed with that if I showed that to her too. But all in all, it's been a great experience since I've had it since Thursday, and that's been 3 days now. So
fantastic. So did you guys get any good Black Friday deals? What did you pick up over the shopping holiday tech wise?
Not too much. I got some household stuff. I guess I bought a new backpack from Encase. Like they're really nice high-end laptop backpack. They all at Encase was half off over the Black Friday Cyber Monday weekend. So I've got a big backpack that is issued from work, and I just don't like the way it fits under the seat on the plane. I fly every week. The Encase ones are more compact as far as just, you know, fitting under the seat and a little bit smaller. And, you know, and I've got the MacBook Pro, which is, you know, it's a 15-inch laptop, but it's pretty small for a 15-inch. It's, you know, very thin and whatnot. I did end up buying a TV for my bedroom. It's a Samsung 32-inch, just a little, I mean, I was shocked at, you know, like $200 for this TV that already has all the built-in smart TV apps where I could, you know, I don't have to worry about anything else connected to it, because I had an old monitor running in there. And when I got the new MacBook and I made the 13-inch MacBook Pro my Plexbox, I took the Mac Mini that was the Plexbox, and over Thanksgiving holiday, I gave it to my nephews with that monitor. So I needed a new monitor / TV for the bedroom. So I went ahead, and it was kind of an impulse purchase. That weekend I rode by Best Buy and just kind of walked around and was like, it's $200 and it's a TV, a nice little, you know, 1080p TV for my bedroom. Why not? So I bought it. And the TV's still in the box. I've had it for a week now, and I still haven't even opened it yet because I've been traveling and busy since then. So I haven't actually used it. But, you know, it's one of just those little impulse buys. As far as other tech stuff, I bought some new Tile Bluetooth finders, you know, the little things like you can put on your keychain or you put in your backpack or whatever. I had one of those, and I like the concept of it. I've never had to use it, and hopefully I never have to use it as far as to find my device. But it is good. I wanted to get another one for my keychain because you can, from your phone, you can tell it to beep so you can find your keys around the house. So I think that's about it as far as tech gear goes for me. And I ordered a new laptop on Cyber Monday, so I guess that might count.
Yeah, that... Wow, that's still bad. So I noticed we had been talking that some of the Sonos equipment was on sale over Black Friday. Did you pick any of that up, Jim, or did you resist the siren song of the Sonos?
I couldn't pull the trigger. I wanted to, but I really want the soundbar and the sub because I want to be able to hook it up into my TV and use AirPlay. And to use AirPlay, you really need to get the soundbar because the soundbar's got the optical connection that goes into the TV, and then you connect your Apple TV into your TV, and that allows you to play AirPlay through the Sonos, not just through the Wi-Fi app that, or the Sonos app that plays directly to the Sonos. My price of entry would have been at least $650, or it is still at least $650. They're on sale through the end of the month on Sonos. And then if I went soundbar, then I would also want the sub to go with it. So then we're talking $1,298. And with everything else I've bought here in the last month or two with the laptop and then the new bike, you know, about 2 months ago, I just decided, you know, I'll put it off. Maybe they'll go on sale eventually again and we'll see. I really wanted to do it. And, you know, maybe if some sort of bonus comes through at the end of the year, I'll bite, but not yet.
So as much as we talk about Apple on this podcast, we talk about cord cutting just the same. So DirecTV Now launched this week with their $35 for 100 channel offering. And Jim, you posted to Instagram, I think. You posted the, we didn't know what it was at the time, but it turns out that it's related to this. Tell us about that.
So yeah, so last weekend, I guess it was, my girlfriend and I were walking around downtown Dallas and they were installing this structure is all I can say. I live about a block north of the AT&T corporate headquarters in Dallas. And so we're just walking the dog and walking around, and there's this huge structure, and it says Now, N-O-W, Now, vertical. And we could put a link to the Instagram in the show notes. And I thought it was kind of neat. And as you get closer to it, I mean, this thing is probably 40 feet high, at least. As you get closer to it, you realize the whole structure is built out of old DirecTV set-top boxes, like all bolted together, hundreds of these DirecTV set-top boxes bolted together to spell the words Now. And so not even putting it two and two together with, you know, posting this picture, like, this is kind of neat. And so this weekend, they finally got the whole structure finished, and they've got like a faux rock base to it to make it, you know, look like a really neat big statue. And then the little plate out in front of it is talking about, you know, TV freedom.
The death of set-top boxes.
Yeah, TV freedom and, you know, DirecTV Now. So it's basically like their big advertisement sort of sculpture outside of their headquarters for DirecTV Now. So that's kind of neat. And I actually subscribed to DirecTV Now this week. I think you did too. The Apple TV deal that they were offering was just too good to pass up. And so I've got this new TV that's going in my bedroom, and I've got an old Apple TV on it. But I'll use the new Apple TV with that one as well. So that was kind of neat, that the fact that I saw that and had no idea what it was about. And then you know they do the press conference and everybody comes sign up, you know, the December 2nd or what, you know, last Friday. So that was kind of neat.
So we'll talk about my impressions of that service in a minute. But Jim, you signed up. Brad, did you sign up for that as well?
I didn't. I'm still mulling over it, and I've been pretty happy with PlayStation View, and I got a free Apple TV fourth generation out of signing up for Sling for 3 months, and then PlayStation View supplanted Sling TV. So I may sign up for it just to try it and get the free Apple TV. I don't know.
So I've been collecting free Apple TVs off of these sign-up services. So yeah, I went ahead and did the prepay for 3 months off DirecTV. Right now, just like the 1%er Music Club, I'm in the 1%er TV Club as well. Because right now, I currently have, as of today, Sling, DirecTV, and PlayStation View. I canceled Sling the other day. I got my free TV. My prepay is up in December sometime. So it's going away. I've definitely made the decision there to get rid of that. The interface is not intuitive on Sling at all.
It's very kludgy.
It looks like the YouTube app on Apple TV, in my opinion. But it's one of those things where I couldn't give it to my parents and have them figure out what's going on, how to use this, because I have a hard time figuring it out, right? And I know what I'm doing, and it's still like, this is a terrible UI.
There's no smooth transition between channels or genres or whatever.
I have it lock up frequently. I actually have it work better on the Fire Stick than I do on the Apple TV half the time when I'm trying to watch stuff. Having no DVR built into it is awful as well. And that's also an insult to DirecTV on that one as well. That's a problem with it. But, you know, just comparing the three, I got to say that the only thing that the DirecTV one has going for it is the low price right now. I mean, it has a better UI than than Sling does. I think it's comparable to the PlayStation View UI, which also is kind of kludgy with its the way that it handles the if you're flipping through the guide, how you can accidentally knock it into another time instead of being...
Yeah, the guide's not great on PlayStation View
either. Yeah, it's not great. So it's okay on DirecTV. It probably has one of the better interfaces, but I don't know what it is with Sling, and by Sling I mean Dish, and DirecTV not wanting you to use app logins for channels. Like, this is, it's completely blowing my mind. Out of these three services, PlayStation View is the only one that lets you, if you want to use the app for whatever channel. And View is better than any cable provider that I've ever seen in terms of, like, last night, I keep seeing people every Saturday night talk about the show Dirk Gently on BBC America, and I have not watched it yet. And just on the lark, I loaded up the BBC America app on my iPad to see if I could log in through PlayStation View. Sure enough, I could. With DirecTV, you only get like HBO, Cinemax, ESPN, and maybe Freeform or something like that are the only channels you can log in through the apps with. Everything else you can't. So, and if you're wanting to use that deep search feature, maybe that'll change because DirecTV is partnering with Apple on that single sign-on for tvOS that's coming out. But right now, if you want to use Siri to search for something and you're searching across apps that you have access to, it's useful to have that. So maybe that'll change, but I don't know. I'm still digging the PlayStation View service better than DirecTV. The one thing I will say is that I have a HBO subscription through HBO Now. I canceled it this week because DirecTV is offering HBO for like $5 a month as opposed to the $15 you get for HBO Now, which is of course because AT&T is about to buy Time Warner, or trying to. So that's kind of a scary thought too, is that if AT&T buys it, they'll own Game of Thrones. They will own all of the I don't know, that's going to work out very well for other providers, I'm guessing.
Well, I was thinking all of the View and the Sling and DirecTV stuff, I feel like it'll all catch up to where there's all kind of, it's ubiquitous among all of them to where they all permit or add in the sign-on ability to any app across the board, just because it's not necessarily new, but this is sort of a new push for all these services to go streaming.
Well, the thing that gives me pause about that, DirecTV has been better about it historically than Dish has. So as someone who's been a Dish customer since like 2009 or something, I would have to disagree on that one. They don't play ball with the content providers very well. Like, I didn't have the ability to stream ESPN until maybe 2014, I think, was when I finally got it. And it really made me regret leaving Comcast for a while, was because, you know, if I had to go out on a Saturday night, I want to watch a Rebels play, I couldn't watch because Dish didn't play ball. And things like with AMC, right? They had a big lawsuit a couple of years ago with AMC. They finally patched everything up and dropped a multi-billion-dollar lawsuit against one another, signed a multi-year deal. What could I not do under Dish? Stream through the AMC app. Like, just, I don't know. They've never given me a warm and fuzzy through that. I do think DirecTV will probably allow that at some point. But so far, PlayStation View has been the one to beat. They don't have any Viacom channels, but I don't, outside of Comedy Central, I don't really watch a lot of those things. There's not a lot on Comedy Central that I'm just clamoring to see anyway, so.
That's the one thing that's given me a little bit of buyer's remorse, is the loss of the Viacom channels on PlayStation. And I don't watch Nickelodeon. I don't watch MTV. The only reason I would watch VH1 would be for that metal show or maybe Behind the Music. And I don't even know if they even do that show anymore, but I used to love that show. But I do watch Comedy Central at times. I'll just turn it on to where I just watch stand-up for 3 or 4 hours while I'm working. I'll be listening to it while I'm working or something. Sort of like a podcast or SiriusXM sort of stream, if you will.
I used to have Comedy Central when I had Dish, and they didn't allow app logins. So the one nice thing is that if you do Hulu, a lot of the content that's on Comedy Central, like if you're watching something like Broad City or Drunk History or one of those, the episodes show up within a couple of weeks. So it's generally not that far behind. Maybe it's like a month behind or something, but they typically get the content pretty quickly, and it's commercial free if you watch it on there. So it hasn't been...
Well, there's so much you're going to want to watch anyway. There is so much you want to watch anyway. It's going to take you a couple of weeks to even get to it. So what's that 2 week wait really mean? Nothing.
They could put a year delay on it. And by the time that I work through the backlog with everything else I got going on, I wouldn't even miss it. So I do wish that they would. That's the one thing I haven't liked about the satellite and TV providers. They drop, they'll get in these little tiffs with the providers and they'll drop it for a while and they'll patch everything up. I really wish that didn't happen. When I was a kid, that never seemed to happen.
Yeah, when you were a kid, there were like 4 channels, though. So I also got the picked up the DirecTV deal this week with the Apple TV, and I'm dropping my Hulu, or I canceled the Hulu and my HBO Now for now. My initial experience with the DirecTV app, the guide seems pretty good. I watched a couple things on there, just checking it out. I was not used to commercials anymore, besides watching live sports. That was definitely different for me, just watching TV shows that actually have commercials in it, because my Hulu account was the no commercials account. The other thing I noticed is that there's only two shows right now that I'm watching on like network television that I regularly, like when I get home from traveling, that I try to watch. And that's The Last Man on Earth and Designated Survivor. Last Man on Earth being like on season 3 now. Designated Survivor is brand new. I like Kiefer Sutherland. I started watching it, you know, this year, and I really enjoy the show. And so when I logged into the DirecTV app, I noticed that the episodes on DirecTV are about 3 to 4 weeks behind. They're on episode 8 or 9 now, and it was only up through episode 5 was available on the DirecTV app. So that was kind of disconcerting. You know, I was like, yeah, you know, I want to watch it, you know, soon. I don't want to have that spoiler, you know, factor of not being able to see a show until 3 or 4 weeks after it happens. And not that Designated Survivors, you know, got big spoilers, but I'm sure as we get down to the end of the season, you know, it could definitely happen. And, you know, you're just randomly browsing through Twitter and somebody says, oh, well, the vice president killed the president and took over the country and blew up all of Russia. You know, just some stupid, you know, like, hey, what, you know, come on, spoiler alert. So I actually switched back over to Hulu because I canceled my Hulu subscription, but it doesn't actually expire until later this month. And so I watched the two latest episodes of Designated Survivor that I hadn't seen, one that had just aired and one from the week before, from I guess Thanksgiving week or whatever it was. And so that was bothered me a little bit. You know, I guess they may have a little bit more lag, like whatever agreement they signed. Maybe that's why they're able to be a little bit cheaper. Like Hulu's paying for, you know, immediate access to these shows, whereas ABC says, look, we'll pay a little bit less, but we'll wait 3 weeks before we add a show or something like that. So I'm going to, you know, I obviously I have it for 3 months. I could start back up Hulu, you know, anytime, because my Hulu subscription was through iTunes. And I do that because I buy iTunes gift cards when they go on sale for 20 to 25% off. And so that's how I was paying for Hulu and HBO, is so I get whatever the cost is. And I'm basically paying 20 to 25% less, you know, for those subscriptions, which, you know, if you're out there, that's a great life hack for paying for anything on iTunes. I never have direct charges on iTunes. I'm always stocked up with, you know, at least $100 to $200 worth of just credit on my iTunes account. That way, it, you know, anytime those reoccurring subscriptions go through, they're getting paid for with a discount. So otherwise, I think the other point that I wanted to bring up on DirecTV was it doesn't count against your minutes or against your data if you're on, yeah, minutes. It doesn't count against your data if you're on AT&T, which is, to me, crazy. I mean, this is the first blatant, I'm abusing network neutrality on my network with content that I own. I mean, this seems like the first blatant time that's happened. I know Brian and I, you and I spoke earlier this week, and T-Mobile does some of that where they have partnerships. But T-Mobile doesn't own any of these services that they're allowing you to do that with.
So this is one of the first, but it's not the first. And I'm not even going to use T-Mobile as the example. Verizon's the other one that's actually doing this. They have a service called Go 90 that they launched a couple of years ago. And they have this thing called FreeBee, and it's a little, you know, a little a bee, like a the insect, FreeBee data. And they're getting in trouble from the FCC for also sort of violating the net neutrality principle for allowing video that goes over that to not count against your data cap. So to me, it was one of a few things that they had put in there, but the AT&T one is the first just straight up blatant, we're going to do this, ha, 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 ha. I think that's, well, it's good. If you're an AT&T subscriber, that's great. Of course, if you're the broader implications, if you're a startup starting something, having to pay AT&T or Verizon to do that. And they do offer that, by the way. If you are a provider, you can pay them the ability to not have your service count against data caps. And it's like $30 for an hour of high def video is what it is right now. So basically what you would pay for 1 hour of high def video, they're giving you all of DirecTV for free. So clearly some and again, the fact that they're doing this as they're trying to buy Time Warner is insane. It's like you're going to draw this undue scrutiny that's going to get your deal blown apart over here for what? You know, the way that T-Mobile's done it has been a bit better because they don't own any media company and they're allowing anyone who wants to sign up to do it. So you have the plethora of music service, a plethora of video services. They're fine because it's truly neutral. It's sort of towing the line in terms of this is kind of sketchy, but, you know, they're not charging anybody for that privilege. You just have to sign up and agree. So AT&T, on the other hand, yeesh. So I don't know. I would do that if I were them.
It works because I immediately thought I'm not going to rush out and buy a new iPad Pro because this one is, I guess, a year old now or about a little over a year old. And there might be new ones coming within the next year. But if this keeps going like it is, then I would seriously consider buying an iPad Pro with, you know, and adding AT&T service to it. Just doing a monthly service just for the iPad Pro or add on to my parents' phone account that I pay for now on AT&T, just so I could watch the DirecTV Now app on my iPad Pro anytime I'm traveling. I could watch football games. I could, you know, do anything through that.
Well, be careful on the football games because they don't own the mobile rights for the NFL. So try doing that and see how that works out for you. Try actually doing that on DirecTV Now, and you'll see that it's blocked on mobile because Verizon owns the mobile rights. I ran into this with Sling as well, where I tried to watch something on Fox. Like my local Fox affiliate was on Sling. So just on a lark, I fired up my phone on a Sunday, like, huh, let me see what I can do. And I went to the NFL on Fox, and it's like, you can't watch this because Verizon owns the mobile rights. So streaming is not allowed on phones. There are a ton of Byzantine weird deals that go into play for stuff like this. So in general, you're right. When it comes to sports, you might want to double check that.
Well, actually, NFL has been in bed with DirecTV for years because they've had the NFL package on DirecTV. And I actually have a subscription to that now as well that I had before the season. That $100, if you have an EDU address, then you can get the NFL pass for the whole season. My sister just happens to be back in college and has an EDU email address. So I have the NFL package through DirecTV on my devices and on my Apple TV to where I can watch any NFL game that's not aired locally. And if it's aired locally, I can watch it over the air. So I've had that for this season. So I've got that as well. Well,
that's a completely distinct thing. What you're describing, what you were trying to do, what you were just describing, hey, I can just watch this over DirecTV just because I have a DirecTV Now for $35.
I was thinking more like college football, like the stuff that airs on ESPN or Fox on Saturday. You know, I can now just stream that over that app. NFL, I know, is kind of a different story. And I don't think, like, through this DirecTV Now, we don't get the NFL channel. And so that's the Thursday night games for at least half the season. Are on the NFL app, NFL channel, the other half of the season being NBC.
But you can still watch the Ducks or USC.
Yeah, you know, so, and there's no SEC network on DirecTV Now either. You get a couple of the sub-ESPNs. You get like ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, but ESPN SEC is not one of the DirecTV Now channels. And I didn't mention this earlier, but that is one of the things I noticed just scrolling through DirecTV Now through the guide. There's a lot of channels there, and you guys have had cable more recently. Like, I haven't had cable in almost 2 years now. Like, this January marks 2 years since I've had like a true cable package. And so browsing through 100 channels was like, wow, there's all kind of stuff out here and I don't want to watch any of it. But still, there's so many channels. For me, having not had that for 2 years was kind of neat.
So what may be worth mentioning, too, is if you go into the ESPN app and use your DirecTV Now credentials, can you watch the SEC Network live? Because I noticed that they had Big Ten, they had Longhorn, they had tons of stuff. So that's a weird omission.
Again, I use the ESPN app with DirecTV Now credentials, but I cannot get to ESPN SEC. You have to have a special package on DirecTV where you're paying more for like the extra ESPN channels. So my parents who have DirecTV.
Communion television.
They have ESPN, so I use their credentials to stream in the app. But I can't, if I try to click on a game that's airing on ESPN Network, it says you're not provisioned for this service. So I can just watch the standard channels.
Like one login per household. Well, Jim has three households.
The 43-year-old living like a 23-year-old over here.
And I know, I see you sitting there giggling. Hey, no, I help pay for these services. I'm not mooching. I actually help pay the bills, so I don't feel bad at all using their logins because I help pay the bill. And I know that the only reason they have ESPN on their DirecTV package is because I do help pay the bill. And I said, add ESPN to your package because they didn't even have it. So I feel I'm totally comfortable in. Because they never use that login for anything. They don't travel around and watch DirecTV on their apps. So I'm just using the streaming portion of their DirecTV service. And so I've got three different DirecTV services. I guess basically I use the parents login for their normal DirecTV service. And then I have the NFL pass that's through my sister's EDU login that I just watch NFL games. And now me personally, I have DirecTV now. So AT&T is getting plenty of my money for how often I actually use the service. It is the way I look at
it. Jim is his own one percenters DirecTV subscriber. Three DirecTV subscriptions.
I was about to say, he ragged us for having Apple Music and Spotify. This dude, he's not even a cord cutter. He's got, wow. Like, well, I have this one through the EDU, this one through my parents, and this one I pay for. Dude, you're a one percenter DirecTV.
DirecTV's going to regram his Instagram with his big now structure.
I don't pay the whole bill. I just pay part of the bill. I throw him a little spiff, you know, to help out and to get my ESPN. And I do pay the whole bill on the telephone. Now, I do that, except for they throw me a little bit for the device fees. But like it's for the data and the minutes and stuff, I pay for all that.
Does this DirecTV login work? No, let's try this DirecTV login. Does this one work? No.
I'm sending them free advertising posted on Instagram and Twitter with their big structure over their corporate headquarters. So they're getting plenty from me.
The one percenter DirecTV subscriber. Wow. Huh. Well, you know, that is funny though about the, because again, once we're done here, I'm going to have to go log in and see what I can see through. Because I thought when you had the ESPN app and you logged into the app, if they give you access to ESPN, the app, you got pretty much everything that ESPN offered, I thought.
No, mine will say I can get in and it knows based on the credentials what set of ESPN channels you get. So I can watch the regular one. I can watch news. I can watch the, you know, Sports Center stuff. But then if I try to do ESPN SEC, it says, you know, you're not provisioned for that channel. So
I don't feel so bad about having Sling, DirecTV, and PlayStation View now, because at least mine are three distinct services. But okay. So, you know, and even if I drop, you know, even dropping Sling and keeping PlayStation View and keeping DirecTV now, my total outlay would be like, I don't know, $80 a month, which is still cheaper than the $130 I was paying a month for Dish. So even if I do keep both, which...
And still cheaper than any terrestrial coax service.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And to get the ability to stream it anywhere. Now, for me, you know, looking at the AT&T deal, I do see the appeal in that. But I have like 33 gigs a month right now, and I'm not even approaching any of that. Though, again, you may want to consider if you don't want to do Hulu, if you don't want to do the Hulu subscription, Jim, you could look at Play on Cloud while you're traveling as well. Because you can just get the individual shows you're looking for. They push them to your device automatically, which you can do over Wi-Fi. And it has a cloud, the commercial skipping built in to the player. So,
which is pretty sweet. I've tried it out.
And that's one I've never used. I haven't tried Play On at all. And I've seen y'all, we've talked about it briefly here a couple of times. And we've talked about it on our group, you know, our chats. So I might have to check that out because that's one that I haven't looked at all.
CBS also has the NFL rights now through their app as well. So if you pay the $5 or $6 a month for CBS, you now get access to all the NFL games starting now. And I know it's well into however – it was a multi-year deal they signed. So that's the – again, the big thing is always the local channels in terms of being a cord cutter that gets you. And the stupid rights of, I have the rights to do this on mobile. But, you know, if you want to watch it through your Apple TV, you're fine. You try to fire it up on your phone. Nope, we paid for the exclusive rights on that. So,
yeah, it's crazy, the big mesh of red tape that exists for streaming and all that.
For those of us who don't have EDU email addresses and
that still makes call up Ole Miss and get your old grandfathered EDU address.
I think I'm persona non grata when it comes to the computing systems there.
Sunset.oldmiss.edu, right, Brian?
Worst, longest email addresses in history. Well, I think we've covered everything that I wanted to talk about this week. What about you guys? You got anything else you want to bring up?
I was going to say I did get a good Black Friday deal for my son. He had found a new monitor that he wanted to get, and he came in there very humbly and said, "Can I please get this for Christmas?" It was like $329. It's a nice ViewSonic. It's got, he had researched display ports and HDMI and all that stuff because he wants to be able to connect his Xbox 360, his Xbox Live, and his PC to it all at once and be able to watch television from it or play games because he uses his Xbox One for his television set-top box, if you will. But anyway, I found it yesterday or 2 days ago for $150. So, no. It was $180 when I bought it, but now yesterday it was $150. So I'm a little miffed that I missed that extra $30, but still it was nearly half price when I got it. So I'm pretty excited for him.
Wow, that is a good deal. And I got the same headphones that Jim got, the Sony MDRX 1000s, I believe, for $350 instead of $400, which I saw that and budget be damned. It's like they never go on sale. This will be great. Boom, got it. Love those headphones. They're great. What else did I get? I got the another Fire Stick, even though I'm deep in the Apple ecosystem. I think what I'm going to do is eventually just...
You're deep in the Fire ecosystem too, though. I mean, with your Amazon Fire tablets and your Fire Sticks.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing there...
And the Echo.
So I am deep in that ecosystem as well. But I think I'm going to sort of phase out using the Rokus. I don't really, they don't really provide me a lot of value. There's a couple of things that I have on the Roku that aren't available on Apple TV or the Fire Stick. So they may stick around. But since they had that deal where it was $29 for a brand new Fire Stick, I thought, well, that's $10 off. That's pretty cheap. So I'll go ahead and do that. And what was the other thing I got? I bought a Ring doorbell. After reading some of the reviews, it doesn't impress me all that much. So since I've bought the headphones instead, I'm actually going to run to Best Buy today and return that. I'm going to hold out for the Ring Pro that I found on eBay at a really reasonable price, since that one does 5 gigahertz on Wi-Fi and has sort of an always-on camera connection, whereas the regular Ring doesn't. I hate getting rid of it, but it was totally worth it to sort of ease the price of the headphones.
That's just those little early adopter things too, though. I mean, it'll eventually get to where they're all 5 gigahertz, always on type of deal.
As I'm putting stuff in, if I'm doing something that does video, I don't want it going over the 2.4 gigahertz. Even if it does 1080p especially, I don't want it going over the 2.4 gigahertz network. So at least having the capability of doing 5 gigahertz would be nice. But my house is weird in the sense that the previous owners didn't have a doorbell. And I have like this weird window around. Yeah, I know. They had this weird 1800 style thing in the door that you twist. One of these, you know, in a little while, I'll go up and I'll film it and I'll send it to you guys.
That's a hipster doorbell, dude.
It is a really hipster doorbell. I don't really like it. I've never, you know, people come in and like, what is this in the middle of your door? And they have to open the glass door to get to it to even twist the thing. So I was like, why do they even put this out here? And the way that it's set up, I have this glass window thing that goes, like these little windows that go all around the door, which makes me feel like I'm living in a fishbowl and I hate it. But the bad part of that is there's nowhere to put a doorbell. Like you'd have to fasten it to the brick. And it's at least the Ring, the normal Ring doorbell, the non-pro version, is powered off a battery if you want to do it. So what I would have to do is get it wired up. And I'll probably go to that expense, but it's just been more trouble than it's worth right now. So I thought, you know what? I'll just not worry with this at this time.
I've been thinking about just hanging a dinner bell outside of my front door and with the big clang, just clang, 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 clang.
I did put a big chintzy $15 Amazon special doorbell out on my front porch. I don't know if you guys have seen these. It's the type where it's the type of thing you could use if you lived in an apartment type of thing, where it's this big gaudy circular thing. I'll send you guys a picture. Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes. It's battery powered, I think. I don't know. I never put any batteries in it. It's supposed to handle up to 200,000 presses, and it's big and gaudy, and it broadcasts to a couple of bells that you can put up to like 50 feet away or something. So I have one in my basement and one inside the house. So I actually do have this garbage doorbell that I'm using right now.
So it's just old school sort of proprietary RF or something?
Yeah, it's something silly and ridiculous like that. So
a friend of mine here in Dallas has the security system in his house was built into the doorbell, where it's actually got a camera and the doorbell and all that stuff. So you could actually answer the door with the camera, even if you're not home. Like, you can make people think you're home, you know, even if you're not. And I thought that was really neat.
That's how the Ring works as well. So it has a speaker built into it, and if somebody comes to the door and you can, not only can you see them, but you can interact with them as well.
Squirt them in the face.
Yeah, I just thought that was really cool. So you can, you know, where if you're not home, you can make people think you're home, or if you are home, you can make them think you're not home. I mean, you know, you've got both levels there. So I thought that was kind of cool, and it was all built in to his thermostats and doorbell. You know, like, it was all, the house system was all built together. But of course,
Jim said
none of it's built into HomeKit or Siri, so he's got custom stuff for all that stuff. And just to point out, I've been loving my one light switch that I have on Siri now. It's just so convenient. I don't have to, you know, find my phone. I just walk in and say, "Hey, lady, you know, turn on my lights," and there come my lights. So it's really nice.
Jim was talking about not being at home or making them think you're not at home, and it just makes me think about Ferris Bueller, where it plays the tape a second time, and he's like, "Get out here."
"Well, thank you for stopping by."
"You better get out here."
Yeah. That should be our outro, Brian. You need to record that. "Thanks for stopping by."
Or, "What are you guys still doing here? The movie's over. Go home." Well, that's it for this week. We're going to be back next week, I guess. And we may have a spotty Christmas schedule. We're going to work that out. But we'll figure something out. We'll post something. Say goodbye, fellas.
Goodbye, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. We can be found on Twitter. I'm at Brian B. That's B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim. That's B-I-G-J-I-M. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we hope to talk to you next time.